There's no lack to the power of the great Increate, of the great one whom we worship. Our next reference takes us to the book of Job, chapter 5 and verse 8. And there we have the statement of one of the friends of Job. I would seek unto El, and unto Elohim would I commit my cause. I would seek unto the great power of the heavens, who is able to help. That is the idea behind this statement. I would seek unto El, even unto him whose power is manifested through the Elohim, through the mighty ones of heaven, and to him would I commit my cause. Of course, the friends of Job were telling Job that he had committed some terrible and awful sin. They were quite ignorant of the purpose of God in Job, and they were here calling upon him to seek unto El, to seek unto the divine strength that could help him in his time of need. In the 8th chapter of Job, we have several occurrences of this word. Bildad the Shuhite proceeds to press against Job certain principles that he had distorted. He was telling Job what he should do. In verse 3 of the 8th chapter, he says, "Doth Aeol pervert judgment?" And of course the word Aeol here in this relationship signifies that the one with such power in the heavens, does he need to pervert judgment? He's got the power to effect whatever he wants to do. In verse 5, "If thou wouldest seek unto El betimes," seek unto this mighty power, he can help thee, Job. In verse 13, he elects to tell Job that the disastrous results of all those that forget this mighty power, the hypocrite's hope, he says, shall perish. Of course, Bildad thought that Job was the hypocrite. In verse 20, he says, "Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man." Again, the word is El, this mighty one of the heavens, this one whose power is revealed in all nature, this one whose mighty power is manifested in the unfolding of his divine purpose. He will not cast away a perfect man. A perfect man can trust in this power. So we have the usage of the term here. In chapter 9 and verse 2, Job answers, "How should a man be just with God?" So Job expresses here the mighty power of the heavens. How can he contend with one so mighty as El? Notice what Job says in verse 3, "If he will contend with him." So he is speaking of this mighty El. Who can possibly contend with this mighty El? Our next occurrence is in the 12th chapter of Job, and verse 6. Job, driven to an extreme by the folly of his friends, states that the tents of robbers prosper, and they that provoke El are secure, into whose hand the mighty one, Eloah, bringeth abundance. Here you have two words. The first God is El, the second one is Eloah. The first one signifies power, and the second one signifies the powerful one, the mighty one. The first one, El, signifies the source of all power, and the second one, Eloah, signifies the manifestation of that one as a powerful one. Now Job is saying here, which is quite true, that the tents of robbers prosper and they that provoke El are secure. So it seems as we look around life today, people that provoke El, people that flout him, that care not for his power, they seem secure. But we know, as Job knew, that the time would come when God will judge them, and that mighty power that they have ignored will be unleashed to their destruction. Now in chapter 13, the word occurs three times. We have it in verse 3. "I desire to reason with God, with this mighty one of the heavens, whose power Job believed that he had felt." In verse 7, "Will ye speak wickedly for El, and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye contend his person? Will ye contend for El?" Why is there any need for that? Job is saying, this mighty one of the heavens, he has sufficient power to contend for himself. And so why do you need to contend for Iyo. Let him speak. He has the power so to do. We go on to chapter 15 of Job. And here Eliphaz says to Job, "You cast off fear. You restraineth prayer before God." Now this was false. This was wrong. Eliphaz was speaking an untruth as far as Job is concerned. But notice the significance of the words of Eliphaz, because they're full of power, really, when properly applied, which he did not properly apply them. He is saying, there's such a thing as restraining prayer before ale. Now what a beautiful expression. Our prayers can become powerful if we recognize the strength of that one to whom we are turning, if we recognize his power. But if we don't recognize his power, if we don't recognize his strength, if we don't see him as Ael, the mighty ones of heaven, then our prayers may well be restrained. So Eliphaz says, thou restraineth prayer before the mighty one. Whereas you should let your prayers flow freely before the mighty one, because he has might to help and deliver. In verse 11, he speaks of the consolations of power, the consolations of ale. Are the consolations of ale small with thee? In other words, Job, are you minimizing the power of that one who can help you? So Eliphaz is reasoning with Job as he elects to use the title ale in describing God. In verse 13 he says, thou turnest thy spirit against God. But more than God, against Ael, against this mighty power in the heavens. You mortal puny man are turning your spirit against Ael. How can you possibly do that? In verse 25, we have the same expression. He stretcheth out his hand against Ael. He does not realize the one against whom he is contending. That is the philosophy of that particular verse. Of course, the application of these things to Job was wrong, but the principles themselves are right. And man, when he turns against God, is turning against more than God. He's turning against Ael. He's turning about against the great power of the heavens. And when you look into the heavens and you see all the mighty stars, the mighty heavenly bodies sparkling and shining forth with their glory, hurtling through space at tremendous speeds, and you come to consider the mighty infinity of space itself, the mighty universe around us, and beyond all this, there is Yahweh, there is God, and he has revealed himself as Ael, the mighty power that holds into the position, the whole of creation. Now, says Eliphaz to Job falsely, he stretcheth out his hand against Ael. We can use those words against the world at large, because they are defying Ael, and that same strength will destroy them ultimately. We must pass on to the 18th chapter of Job and verse 21. I'm afraid that as I am going through this subject with you, I'm enjoying it rather, and wasting possibly a little bit too much time on this. But as I go through this subject, which I studied many years ago, I do again experience the same thrill that was mine when I first studied Phanerosis, and I went through and marked my Bible in coloured pencils, as I've suggested that you should do. Now in the 18th chapter of Job and verse 21, surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not Ael, that knoweth not God truly, but more than that, that knoweth not God's power. And that's the idea behind this word. More than knoweth not God, knoweth not God's power. Chapter 19 and verse 22. Why do you persecute me as God, as the mighty one, as Ael, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Why do you persecute me as Ael, as though you have this power, as though you know all wisdom? Why do you do that and are not satisfied with the fact that you can see in my flesh the sufferings that I am enduring? Poor Job. 20th chapter of Job, verse 15. He hath swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. Hear the word again, is Ael. His power shall do it. God's got the power to do it. So you see, it's more than God as an object of worship. It's God as mighty power who is able to cause a man to disgorge his wealth. So, Zophar, speaking truth, but applying it falsely against Job, uttered those words. Again, verse 29. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by El, by God. The first word God there is Elohim. We're leaving that unmarked, you will remember. The second word is the word El, strength, power. We go to the 22nd chapter of Job, the 21st chapter of Job, and verse 22. Verse 14. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. They say unto El, depart from us. They don't understand the one of whom they are speaking. They don't comprehend his mighty power. They say unto him, depart from us. Again, verse 22. Shall any teach God knowledge? Shall any teach El knowledge? This one whose power is infinite? How can you teach him knowledge? Why, he has all that knowledge and the mighty power that he reveals. Chapter 22, verse 2. Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, can a man be profitable unto God? Unto El? What can we offer unto him whose power is infinite? What does he want of us? So, can a man be profitable unto El? Says Eliphaz the Temanite. In verse 13 he says, and thou sayest, how doth God know? How can he judge through the dark cloud? How doth El know? Well, El knows all things. He has the power to know. He has the ability to know. He has the strength to be able to penetrate any dark cloud into the full light of knowledge. Now he speaks unto certain ones, certain wicked men, which said unto El, depart from us, depart from us. And so he reasons that these men did not know what they were talking about, because they were speaking unto El, not merely unto God, but unto El, unto God whose power is infinite. In chapter 23 and verse 16, El maketh my heart soft. Well, that's a hard thing for anybody to do, whether God or man, to make the heart of flesh soft. We know the case with Israel, how that Israel were hard-hearted and remained hard-hearted in spite of all that God might do unto them. In spite of all the love that he lavished upon them, they remained hard-hearted. But here we read that Job did say, El maketh my heart soft. And those that come unto him in the proper way, he has that power to do that. He has infinite power, and he can do even that, one of the most difficult things for anybody to say, to do. Job 25 and verse 4, Bildad's short speech. How then can man be justified with God, this mighty power? How can man be justified with God? Only by seeking the strength of God. That's the answer to Bildad's question. The 27th chapter of Job. The word El occurs four times in this chapter. In verse 2, as El liveth, as God liveth. So we learn that this El is not merely a jealous El, a mighty El, an El of faith, an El of truth, an El of mercy, but a living El. So, a living personality whose strength and power is infinite. In verse 9, will El hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Well, it would be good for him if he did, because the use of that very title demonstrates that he has the power to help him. In verse 11, I will teach you by the hand of El, by the hand of strength. He's going to teach him in that way, through mighty power, through strength that cometh from God. This is the portion of verse 13 of a wicked man with El. This is the portion of punishment that will stem from El and destroy the wicked. So the wicked man must contend with El. I believe that that completes. No. Now, there were one or two more references. The 31st chapter of Job, and verse 14. What then shall I do when Ael riseth up, when he visiteth? What shall I answer him? Well, there's not much of an answer that one can do when faced with the mighty power of Ael. And so the usage of the title, what shall I do when Ael riseth up? Someone more than the word God. What shall I do when I see this mighty power rise up before me? When I see the manifestation of his might and power. In verse 23, destruction from Ael was a terror to me. Because how all-absorbing would be the destruction from Ael. Verse 28, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied Ael, that is, above. So here we learn of a strength that stems from above. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, and all power is from above. So here is a strength that cometh from above. The 32nd chapter of Job, verse 13. Lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man. Ael thrusteth him down. The mighty power from above thrusteth him down, and not man. So he is punished of God and not of man. In chapter 33 of Job and verse 4, the Spirit of God hath made me, the Spirit of Ael. So we have the Spirit of this power hath made me. Verse 6, behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. In the stead of this mighty one whose power is from above, whose power is mighty, who is jealous, who is faithful and merciful and gracious, whose strength and power is manifested not only in all the acts of creation, but in the unfolding of a divine purpose. So, Elihu, I am in his stead. In verse 14, he shows that the strength of this one, who is known by the title Ael, is so powerful, he speaketh only once, and what he saith must be accomplished. In verse 29, he uses the title again, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. So the mighty one, Ael, oftentimes worketh these things with man. He uses his power amidst the sons of men to accomplish his purpose. In the 34th chapter of Job, and verse 5, Job hath said, I am righteous, and Ael taketh away my judgment. Verse 10, therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding, for be it from Ael, far be it from Ael, that he should do wickedness. Verse 12, Ael will not do wickedly, his power will not be manifested in that direction. Verse 23, he should enter into judgment with Ael, with this mighty power. In other words, before one acts or speaks a word in relation to the things of God, he should recognize and remember the mighty power of him with whom he would enter into judgment. In verse 31, surely it is meet to be said unto Ael, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. So it is righteous to turn to this mighty one with such a confession, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more, I will learn from these things. In verse 37, he claimed that Job multiplieth his words against this mighty one of the heavens, against Ael. Chapter 35, he continues to use this same title. My righteousness is more than Ael. Again, in verse 13. Surely Ael will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Ael will not hear vanity, and therefore will not come to help those that utter these things of lightness. Job 36, we read in verse 5 that Elihu truly says that Ael is mighty. There's no doubt about that. In verse 22, not only God exhorteth by his power, but Ael exhorteth by his power. And by his power we recognize that God is ale, that is, God is strength. So he says in verse 26, behold, God is great. That the word is ale. Behold, this power is great. In chapter 37, he continues with his usage of this title. He points out that it is manifested in the forces of nature. So in verse 5, we read that God thundereth marvelously with his voice. And there the word is ale. In verse 10, we learn that by the breath of ale, frost is given. So Elihu is pointing out that the mighty power of God is manifested in the works of creation. Verse 14, consider the wondrous works of God, the wondrous works of ale, saith Elihu to Job. And so that completes the Elihu's conversation. Now in verse chapter 40, we have Yahweh speaking of his own power. In verse 9, Yahweh says to Job, hast thou an arm like God, like ale, an arm of power? In verse 19, he is the chief of the ways of God. So he's speaking of the ways of power, the strength that is manifested in natural creation, which illustrates in a minor, very minor way, the strength of the one that created it. If the ox or behemoth is a mighty one, how much mightier is the creator that made him? So he is the chief of the ways of ale. Now we come to the Psalms. We find that in the Psalms there is reference to the same title. We have it in Psalm 5 verse 4. Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. And here again the word is ale, strength or power. In Psalm 7 and verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day, but the word is ale. And it's speaking of the great power of deity who is in a position to destroy the wicked if he so desires. Psalm 10 and verse 11, he hath said in his heart, the wicked one, ale hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it. So the wicked feels that he is safe from the strength and the power of ale. The righteous man replies in verse 12, arise, O Yahweh, O ale, lift up thine hand, let us see your power, your might. So it is ale he directs here to lift up his hand. We pass on to the 16th psalm and verse 1. Preserve me, O God, but the word is ale. And so in this prayer that Yahweh might preserve him, he makes reference to his title of ale that is expressive of his ability so to do. Chapter 17, Psalm 17 and verse 6. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O ale. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. He wants the help of ale, and therefore he applies unto ale for help. Psalm 18, verse 2. Yahweh is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my ale. My God, you see. My ale, the source of his strength. In the psalm, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect, but the word is ale, strength. Verse 31, who is a God save Yahweh? Who is a mighty one save Yahweh? The word there is Allah. Verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength. Here again the word is ale. He's girded with strength by the divine power, by ale. He is bringing ale into his life, a thing that we all must attempt to do. In verse 47, it is ale that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. Of course it was. It was ale that did that for King David, and it is ale who shall do that for us. So it was by the power of ale that David got the victory. By the power of ale that the Lord Jesus Christ did and will yet gain the victory in all the earth. In the 19th psalm, in a beautiful psalm that is expressive not only of the creative power of God in natural creation, but also in that new creation of which the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits. We read in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The word is ale, the strength, the glory of his power. When we look into the heavens, we see that. In the stars glittering from above, There is seen the glory of the divine power, the glory of Ael. And when we consider the saints in glory, as Abraham was promised, they shall shine as the stars of heaven. There we have a manifestation of divine power in the glorious word of truth that is of power to transform our life. That is why this 19th Psalm is divided into two parts, as you will notice. At verse 7 he breaks off from a contemplation of natural creation and considers the law of Yahweh, this wonderful book that we have in our hands, which is equally as marvelous as the greatest miracle of the heavens about us. So the glory of Baal is declared in the heavens. It will be declared in the political heavens of the age to come. We come to Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The word is Ael. It relates to power or strength. And when the Lord Jesus Christ uttered those words upon the cross, it was not that God had forsaken him, as we might understand that term, but God had withdrawn his power. And so the Lord Jesus Christ uttered this prayer, my Ael, why hast thou forsaken me? And in that sense, the Lord Jesus Christ was emphasizing his sinlessness. He was emphasizing the fact that he had done no sin, and he was on that cross merely as the atonement for suffering humanity. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We have the title used again in verse 10. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. The word is Ael, strength. And so the Lord Jesus Christ from a child derived power and strength from Yahweh. We know that the Spirit was with him from the very beginning. We remember when he went up to the temple as a boy and how he astounded the teachers with the knowledge that he had. How truly it can be said of him that Yahweh was his strength even from birth. A beautiful thought. In the 29th Psalm and verse 3, we read, the voice of Yahweh is upon the waters, the Ael of glory thundereth. And so the thunder was a manifestation of divine power, a manifestation of Ael. Psalm 31 and verse 5. Here we have a title, O Yahweh, God of truth. O Yahweh, Ael of truth. He who will be the strength of truth. That's the idea behind this statement. He who will be the strength of truth. And who is the strength of truth? Of course, Yahweh is the strength of truth, because we know that he is competent to perform all that he has promised, so that we can put implicit trust and confidence in him, because he has proclaimed the truth, therefore what he has proclaimed shall be fulfilled. He is the strength of truth in which we can trust. We go on to Psalm 42. These psalms are very, very beautiful, and these divine names help to make them even more so. My soul thirsteth for the Elohim, for the living Ael. When shall I come and appear before Elohim? So here we have the psalmist speaking of Elohim, the angels, I believe, through whom the power of Yahweh was manifested. They come not only through the Elohim, but they recognize in the Elohim the manifestation of the living Ael, even Yahweh in the heavens. So to him God was a living power, and he thirsted for that living power, because that living power could really help him. In verse 8 we have a lovely expression. Yahweh will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer shall be unto thee, strength of my life, the God of my life, the strength, the Ael of my life. And so that strength in this psalmist was the dynamics of his spiritual existence. May it be so with us, and may Yahweh bless our studies together around his word, that as we contemplate the titles and the name by which he has been pleased to reveal himself unto us, we might be able to derive some idea of that glory that indeed is his, and the revelation of it in our lives. So in verse 9 he says, I will say unto Ael my rock, unto the strength my rock. So he's sheltered He shouted on Yahweh. He leaned on Yahweh. He built on Yahweh as a rock. He was like that person in the parable of whom the Lord said at the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount, the one that not merely heard his words but performed them. He says he builds upon a rock. So the psalmist said, I will say unto Aiel, my rock, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Help me, O Aiel. And of course, he has access to a power of which the world knew nothing. So have we. We have access to a power of which the world knows absolutely nothing. In verse 4 of the 43rd Psalm, now the psalmist says, I will go unto the altar of the Elohim, the altar of Elohim, the altar of mighty ones, the altar in the temple, unto Aiel my exceeding joy, unto Aiel strength my exceeding joy. And because he saw in that altar the symbol of divine power, so it was to him his exceeding joy. And thus he determined that he would go unto the altar unto his exceeding joy. In the 20th verse of Psalm 44, you have it, the use of the title in relation to that which cannot strengthen, to a strange God. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange ail, to a strange power, one that does not stem from heaven. Now, it's quite easy for us to do that. We can put confidence in one another. We can put confidence in the flesh. We can put confidence in our own ingenuity, our own schemes of aggrandizement, or even of ecclesial advancement. We can fail because we're putting our confidence in a strange ail, and not in that one who in the heavens is able to help us. We go on to Psalm 52. O mighty man, verse 1, the goodness of Aiel endureth continually. Of course it does. That strength is always available there, and we can always turn to it and gain help if we desire it.